From Psalm 121, idle hills will lift mine eyes. Gather before the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Our God and our Lord, this is a day set aside by thyself, where we can come and meet with thee in thy house, and when we can legitimately lay at a distance from us all of the involvement and the plans and the activities of past days, and the intents of days to come, so that we might commit the totality of our being to the praise of our God. O thou, my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his glorious name to magnify and bless. And so, Lord, as we seek that as our intent of coming together here this morning, we pray for thine aid and thine assistance and guidance and the blessing of thy Holy Spirit, that the worship which we bring and the thoughts that are ours may be acceptable in thy sight, as we come in the one name given underneath heaven whereby we must be saved. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our foundation as we come, on which we can stand with boldness and with confidence, and he is the only argument in our mouth and from our soul for forgiveness, for blessing, for peace. Gracious Lord and God, who is a God liketh unto thee, that pardoneth sin and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of thy people? We ask that each one that knows thee here this morning and others that are joining with us, that all of us together might once again be reminded of the spiritual foundation, the spiritual rich and lavish blessing achieved and accomplished through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray, O Lord our God, that this time might be a time of blessing to each and every one of us apart. We may have come as friends, as companions, as families. But Lord, our dealings with thyself are alone, individual and apart. And we pray therefore that thou would meet with each one of us as thou dost see our needs. Minister to these needs in that perfection of thy wisdom and grace towards every one of thy children. And we pray, our Lord, that we might be refreshed, challenged, comforted, as thou dost know our need by our service here this morning. And the very blessings which we seek for ourselves, these are the same blessings we seek for others who may not be able to be with us this morning. There are so many different providences that intervene to keep thy people away. And so, Lord, we pray that wherever they are found, that thou would be a little sanctuary to them, with a blessing upon thy word to their souls. And as we lift our eyes and extend our prayers yet further out into our own community, into our nation and amongst our people, we pray likewise, Lord, for these same blessings to be known by other gatherings of congregations like ourselves. We pray for the blessing of thy word to come upon the preaching of it this morning. We pray, Lord, for those who gather underneath its hearing, that it would be a word, a living word going into prepared ground. And we pray that there would be a spark of life, a spiritual concern, the exercise of faith here and there amongst us in these days yet again. For we confess that as a nation, we have wandered far from thee. Thy word is so little referred to amongst us. So often it is the wisdom of men and the dictates of politicians that dictate now what we do and where we go. We pray, Lord, that through these providences that thou hast brought upon us, that we might be stilled, that we might be stopped, that we might start to think and reflect upon where we are and what we're doing with this living truth in our possession. Come in with us, O Lord, our God, we pray then, this morning, in the preaching of the word throughout our land, overseas. Each one of us, we may have faces and places that come to our mind right now. People that we are deliberately praying for and remembering before the throne of grace. To Jew and to Gentile alike. There are places where thy people have to lay down the ultimate sacrifice of their life for the profession which they make. And we pray, Lord, that whatever be the circumstances thy church is in, Lord, thou who art the Lord of thy people, be thou there to comfort them whatever their need is. So we pray that thou wouldst remember us now as we linger a while before thyself and in thy presence. Grant to us, Lord, the opening of thy word and our hearts to receive it. And we pray, Lord, that in all of our dealings, that we may know forgiveness and pardon for our shortcomings, and that we might know once again the extension and the experience of thy grace towards us. Hear us and bless us and forgive us, we pray, as we ask all of these things in Jesus' name and for his sake and glory. Amen. We continue our praise, this time following on to Psalm 34. Again, it's printed there for you on the sheet, Psalm 34. God will I bless all times. His praise my mouth shall still express. My soul shall boast in God. The meek shall hear with joyfulness. Extol the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. He heard and did me from all fears deliver. They looked to him and lightened were, not shamed were their faces. This poor man cried, God heard and saved him from all his distresses. The angel of the Lord encamps and round encompasseth all those about that do him fear and them deliveth. And then these words which summon us. O taste and see that God is good. Who trusts in him is blessed. Fear God, his saints. None that in fear shall be with want oppressed. Psalm 34, these stanzas. God will I bless all times. God's word for this morning is found in the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles and chapter 20. And we're reading verses 1 through 17. Chapter 19 gives us some indication of the reforms and the restoration that Jehoshaphat has done. And wherever there is a work of God going on, very quickly you'll find the opposition coming against it. And is that which we read as we come into chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. It came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein, for thy name, saying, If, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade, who when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Ataniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Cis, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Amen, and may the Lord grant to us a blessing from that reading of his own holy and inspired word. And before we come to meditate upon that word, let's turn again to sing his praise from Psalm 77. Psalm 77, and we're singing from 5 through to 10. And what it tells us to do is what we're going to do in a moment. Use our memory. Start remembering. Reflecting. Psalm 77, verse 5 reads like this to sing. The days of old to mind I call, and oft did think upon the times and ages that are past, full many years are gone. By night my song I called to mind, and commune with my heart. My spirit did carefully inquire how I might ease my smart. Then in 7 we have so often the experience of the Christian. Forever will the Lord cast off, and gracious be no more. Forever is his mercy gone, fails his word evermore. 'Tis true that to be gracious the Lord forgotten hath, and that his tender mercies he has shut up in his wrath. Then did I say that surely this is mine infirmity. I'll mind the years of the right hand of him that is most high. Psalm 77, 5 through 10, the days of old to mind I call.
The days of old to mind I call. Our second reading this morning, and where we will focus our thoughts, is on Psalms and Psalm 46. Psalm 46, let's read it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be cast into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I want us to go through the experience that this psalm reflects, but to focus our thoughts particularly on the counsel that's given to us in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I want to, by way of introduction, to go back to an event that took place over 100 years ago, over in the Western Isles, just after the Great War had finished. There was relief, there was thankfulness that so many who had been in that fearful war were now alive and they were going home. Most of them had served in the Royal Navy Reserve. They had been into dangerous waters. They had fought through hard battles year after year. And so it was on Tuesday, the 31st of December, 1919. 283 ex-soldiers, sailors, forces were waiting there on the pierhead in Kyle, desperate to get home to their homes, to their island, to their family, for the new year. And they were there on the pier in Kyle because they all wanted to be first on the boat that was going to leave Kyle to go home. There were two boats going to leave that night. One of them well known to us, the Iolaire. The other one was known as the Sheila. On the island, families were preparing for their arrival. Houses were being cleaned. Clothes were laid out. Food was made ready. Lights had been burning late into the evening several times beforehand, because in every village, in every home, in every community, there was such a high expectation of what was going to happen when they came home. There was so much expectancy, so much relief, so much activity, so much talk. Everybody was excited. A father, a husband, a son, a brother. And so it was that the Iolaire set off to sail to Stornoway. At 2:30 in the morning, it turned trying to get into the port of Stornoway and hit rocks on the entry. It was only 20 feet from the shore, but it was a dark night. There was a big swell. It was rough water. Over 200 people were lost in that disaster. Some of these men were washed up at the foot of their own crofts. on that Wednesday morning. And in the days that followed, many a family came into the town, utterly broken and shattered, to collect their loved ones in a way they never ever could have imagined or thought of, to take them home the way they did. There was pain and sorrow running far, wide and deep throughout the island. Nobody talked about the Eilir for years and years and years afterwards. It was simply too painful to remember. And only in recent years has the memorial been made up, presented, made known. And in the Free Church in Stornoway at that time was the Reverend Kenneth Cameron. And he had a real problem. How was he going to minister on the Sunday following this kind of disaster? What was he going to say? How was he going to preach? How could he enter into the pain that others were feeling and before him in the congregation? So much hurt. What could he do? What could he say? All that he could do, and all that he did say, was to take this very text for the sermon that Sunday morning. Be still and know that I am God. Coming now to ourselves. We don't know what 2022 is going to hold for us. It may not, I hope and trust and pray that it will not be as severe as it was for these people 100 years ago. But there might be something in store for us. We know that COVID has been spoken of and referred to. But not only is there COVID, there's so many other diseases and illnesses that can strike us. And not one of us is free. Not one of us is free from being struck this way or that way. It may well be that in 2022, some of us have got to drink, at least in some measure, from the cup that I've just described as the experience of these people way back home. And whatever 22 might hold for us, let us listen closely and let us hold tight to our soul what is said to us here in this Psalm 46. So I want to start this morning by directing your thoughts simply to the very important thing that this psalm gives us right at the very start, because this psalm speaks about our confidence in God. It takes a cool nerve, and it takes a confident faith, a strong faith, to stand still and to start thinking, in the midst of the trauma and the trouble that I've just described and that can come to any one of us, maybe it already has. We so often feel, well, I've got to do something. I've got to be active and doing something in the midst of this. I cannot sit still anymore. A reading there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There we have the reforms that Jehoshaphat had brought about in chapter 19. And of course, we said the opposition was mobilized against him. Moabites and Ammonites came to make war against the people. And it wasn't just a slight skirmish. It wasn't just a debate over the garden fence. No. This was an intense, extensive conflict that was being embarked on. Just go back again to that chapter 20, verse 2. Verse 12, verse 18, time after time, there is this great description given. Oh, who's coming against us? A great multitude. This was a huge army that was being mobilized to come against the people of Israel. A vast army. The scale of it we can put into the same description that we got in the people of Stornoway. The scale of it is going to fit in with what we've got here in Psalm 46. Fierce bread, we're told in verse 3 of chapter 20. They all gathered together to get help. They were feeling so vulnerable. So what did they do? They spoke to the Lord. And there in verse 12, we're told, our eyes are upon thee. Not only did they speak to the Lord, they also looked to the Lord. And when you come to Psalm 46, we have there something very similar, because not only did we speak to the Lord in Psalm 46, they also spoke about the Lord. They started to talk through about their position and their situation. They started to talk through their relationship, or at least God's relationship with them. Lord, this is what you've said, and this is what we've done, and this, and this, and this. And then we come to the conclusion of it. Here we have it then. They start with their confidence in God. They hold everything else at arm's distance from them, as we have to do. And they lift their gaze above all the other disasters that were round about them. What does it say? It says, and starts, God is our refuge. He is the one that fills their thoughts and their vision. We've come through just these last few weeks where there's been a fearful pressure about us to suck us in to the dreams and the promises that are held out, especially at the festive season. Oh, have this and your life will be different. Come and enjoy this now. And such is the selling power of so much that goes on in these past few weeks. The hopes and the dreams wanted to suck us in. The extravagant offers that are made and the promises that are held out. But we've got to be still and put all of these things to one side and to think about our God who's above all of these. And we've got to think very carefully about our situation and to take him into our thinking. And do not allow anyone or anything to rob us of our Christian strength and comfort, to lean upon and to think about our God. He is the one who has committed himself to us. And as he committed himself and demonstrated himself to be a God, a comfort and a confidence to his people in times past, he has not changed. He is the same to us today. So let me just take that confidence in God and break it down into two very simple thoughts for us. Confidence in God, the psalmist first of all describes our God. The relationship that we're given here of God with his people, it is very selective. Our God is a rich God, and there are so many different ways in which we can gather together the description he gives of his character, of his commitment, of his covenant. We can gather it all together. But here there's a selection very deliberately made and given for these people and for ourselves. Here God is reflecting himself to his people in a way that is appropriate for them. What's their need? What is their need? What is our need? And whenever we've identified that, we find so often that God comes to meet us at the point of that need, just as we are and where we are, is the way God makes himself known, especially to us. They were in a difficult situation, and so God is what? God is a refuge. He shows and reveals and draws attention to aspects of his character that are appropriate to the situation that we are in. a refuge. In the midst of the chaos of life that might be in front of us, that was in front of them, that was in Stornoway. In the midst of the chaos of life, God is a quiet, protected retreat from the pursuing enemy, where we can go for rest in time of danger. Psalm 62 reads as follows from verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour your heart out before him. God is a refuge for us. When the storm comes, or at least when there's the first indication of the storm coming, we all know it, fishing folk, you all know it, the first signs away in the distant horizon, the cloud, the wind, the way things are coming together, and you can read them and you say, yes, there's a storm brewing. Something is going to come. And you start to make preparations right away, ready for the storm when it does come. So then, when the first storms come to lap upon the shore of our life, when there's the first indication of something coming to visit us, what do we do? To whom do we go? We are told, is it in Isaiah 25, verse 4, that we go and we hide ourselves in God until the storm overpasses. God indeed is a refuge for us. The first description, the first confidence we have, but he moves on. He says, not only is God a refuge, but he is also our strength. When we know ourselves, the more that we know about ourselves, the more we realize just how frail and weak and vulnerable we are. Not able to deal with so much that comes our way, that tests us beyond our resources. But God is our strength, equal and more than equal to anything and everything that comes our way. He is our stronghold. He is our safe retreat. He is able to bear us up until that storm passes over. He will never leave, nor will he abandon those who are his own. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 10 reads, Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God will never disappoint his people in the promises that he gives to us and the assurance and confidence that he breeds in us. We will never, ever be disappointed. Yes, he's our refuge. Yes, he's our strength. But also he is our help. A very present help in trouble. There's one thing we can say about God that sometimes surprises us. God is predictable. God is predictable. What he's done for us in the past, he will do for us now and he will do for us in the future. What God has been to us and we've got a hold of, he doesn't change. He doesn't go away. He doesn't alter or amend. So therefore, as we've come from one year into the next, let's do what everyone else is doing. Let's thumb through the pages of the diary of 2021. Go through the different experiences of the year that has just passed and closed and remind ourselves, as we were singing there in Psalm 77, remind ourselves of the ways in which God has helped us. Ask ourselves the question, how has God fared in 2021? Times we were boxed in, back against the wall, facing chaos, not knowing which way to go or what to do. So many situations like that, and many others likewise. And the one thing that we can say about every one of them, God was a very present help to us in that situation for us. When we needed him, he was never late, and he was never lacking in what we needed. He was never late, and he was never lacking in what we needed. Sometimes when we're in a tight corner, we often can prescribe to God, oh, well, now's the time for the Lord to come. Now is when I need the Lord. And we have our own timetable, and we have our own prescription of what God should do and when he should do it. And the Lord says, no. He comes in the perfection of his wisdom and in the sufficiency of his strength to meet the exact needs of his people. So there we have it, the description of God, the confidence that they breathe. If that's the description, what's the deduction? What is the deduction that's given to us here? Read verse 2. Therefore, in the light of what he has just said in verse 1, we will not be afraid. There is a solid logic to the Christian's faith. We're not driven into a corner. We're not whistling in the dark. We're not jumping at every shadow that comes across our pathway. We're not blind to the greatness of God or deaf to the promises of God. No. Fear can indeed infect our faith. Fear can infect us and distract us from the Lord. And perhaps we'll do something about that tonight. We can be intimidated like the disciples were by the wind and the waves, and we begin to sink and our hearts are fearful. But what does the Lord say? I am with you. Fear not. And just think for a moment of the scale of that commitment that is the foundation of that command. Think of the scale of the commitment of God, the foundation of this command. What's the psalmist saying to us? Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and you know what that's like looking over the harbour wall. You know what it's like when a wave breaks and the wind comes up, and you know what it is to be a rough and stormy sea. Just the same as I know down in Fort William, the mountains round about us, there they are the symbol of permanence. Just as the wind and the wave up here is a symbol of power. And both of these are recruited by the psalmist to make his point to us. Yes, we think things are so permanent, like the hills, but they can be moved, shaken with an earthquake. We think of the power of the waves crowding and battering into our lives, the problems that deluge our lives. Will we ever survive? And we're told, yes, you will. God is more powerful than the waves. God is more stable and substantial than the hills round about us. That's the scale of God's commitment. That's the kind of God that we have. Therefore, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If God is for us, the apostle says, if God is for us, Romans 8, who can be against us? That's therefore the commitment, and I've deliberately taken longer with it than any other of the points, simply to establish the foundation on which other things are built. So let's move on then. We've seen the confidence in God. I want now to look at the commitment of God that flows out from it. What's the implications of fearing not? What does it mean? How do you break it down and apply it to your life? What does that mean tomorrow as we've got to go out and face a problem? Three very simple thoughts that we can hold on to come to us from this psalm. The commitment of God. How does God commit? What's the scale of it? What does he do? What does he give? We are told, first of all, verse 4, there's a river. There is a river. The commitment of God, there is an abundant supply for us. In days of old, especially in the days of the Old Testament and such like, in Roman Empire days, what was it that they did when they wanted to attack a city? They didn't throw men at the walls. They didn't hammer in the gate. They didn't start exchanging arrows going over the wall. No. You looked for the water supply. You found out where they were getting their drinking water from, and you poisoned that water so that the city had to give up. Their vulnerable and weakness is their water. You and I can do without food for many a day, for weeks. But we cannot do without water for more than just a few days. All the more so in a dry, hot environment. So therefore, we're told here, what's a commitment of God? There is an abundance of supply. No matter what happens, no matter what circumstances they were in, we might be in, there is this commitment that God has given. There is an abundance of supply to meet your every need. And the source of it is in Revelation 22. Revelation 22 at the very beginning, and it says, there is a river flowing out from the throne of God. And it breaks down into all the little forks and all the little streams and trickles that feed the life of every one of his people. God's ministry, abundant spiritual supply in the midst of all of these problems. A passage we've read, a promise we've got, a person we've met. So many different ways in which God ministers to us in the times of our need. There is a supply. We will never go dry. What else do we get from the commitment of God? Not only the abundance of supply, but we're told that he is an almighty keeper. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. The very fact of God's presence with his people is the guarantee and assurance of the survival of God's people. You go back to the Old Testament, and if we're familiar with it, we can remind ourselves of the cloud that came upon the Ark of God. The way in which there was a wall round about them. Through the daytime a cloud, through the nighttime a fire. The symbols of God's presence with his people. And God's people were unbeatable. Because God was indestructible. And as long as he was with his people were safe. In the storms, the disciples were afraid. But when Christ made his presence known to them and with them, they were safe. And if we understand who is with us, we also likewise shall be at peace, come what may. An abundant supply. An almighty keeper. And then at the end of that verse 5, he says, God shall help her, and that right early. What does this phrase mean? How do we break it down? That right early? What he's saying is, he will be helping us in the time of the morning. At the dawning of the morning. That's what it means. And as you take it and apply it, you can see what he's saying. Right at the very first signs of the daylight coming into the sky. Right at the very first of any day for him, for you, for the people of God. God has given the assurance, I'm with you. Right from the very start. Right early. God is no idle spectator of the throes, the woes of his people. God is no idle onlooker, but he is involved with them. Danger, plain and simple, comes our way. But is God with us through it? Sometimes we can be, just like we were singing there in Psalm 77. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Have we got to go along this path now alone and on our own? Are we left to fend for ourselves? That's the kind of thought that sometimes creeps into our thinking. Promoted by the devil. And we've got to keep on going back to passages like this, doing what we were saying, exercising our memory. God has helped me in the past. Right at the very point of my need, when I was back against the wall, God was there. And as he was there then, so he's with me now. At the very point of our need. We sometimes have the question of timing. And we have to remind ourselves that not only is God's strength equal, but also his time is equal to our need. So there we have it, the commitment of God, the abundance of his supply, the river is running. The Almighty Keeper is there to keep us safe. And we have the assurance of his help right from the very first time the sun comes into the sky in the morning. Confidence in God, commitment of God. Let me try to close it by bringing home the comfort that is now given to us from this psalm. The comfort comes out in verse 7 and again in verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And again, it is necessary for us to stop and ask the question, why is God giving a description of himself in these terms? What's the point and purpose of using this phraseology? So many different names are given about God. The Shekinah glory, Elohim, Jehovah. All of these are well known to us, but here it's the Lord of hosts. Why? The very first place that this phrase occurs is back in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 3. And right in that beginning of Samuel and the books of Samuel, we have the people of God crying out for something. Lord, give us a king. See all these other nations round about us. We want to be like them. Give us a king. We want someone like that to be our leader. And here in that particular experience in 1 Samuel chapter 8, 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 5, the Lord is saying, I am the Lord of hosts. You want a king to lead you? The Lord of hosts is the one who is your leader. He is the one who rules over the angels and the stars. He is the one that rules over nations and of peoples. He is the Lord of all the hosts that we've got to speak of, to encourage us, to comfort us. Who is this Lord that we follow? Who is this King and this God that we profess? Let us remind ourselves he is when we're in a tight corner and when our backs are against the wall and we don't know what to do. Just speak to your soul and say, the Lord of hosts is with me. Whatever nation comes against God's people, they may be large. Again, remember what we said about 2 Chronicles 20. There's this great, vast multitude coming to you, Jehoshaphat. There's a great army coming against you. Very well, they might have all the skill of warfare. They might have the latest weapons. They might have a host of army of personnel and recruits in the army. They're all coming against you. You don't stand a chance. Oh, yes, we do. What are they compared to the Lord of hosts? So, yes, the comfort that comes when we're in a tight corner to remember the particular way in which God speaks to us and to them, the Lord of hosts. And then one last thought. Not only is he the Lord of hosts, but he is the God of Jacob. Why that? Well, again, all that we've been saying this morning, it's all rich, rich material for the encouragement of the Christian. It's all there for the believer to take to him or to herself. But sometimes we can turn and we can say, well, hold on. I've been inconsistent. I haven't been up to the mark that God has set for me. I've been wavering and weaving. I've let the Lord down. We can think of so many ways to disqualify us from taking these things to ourselves. We're so conscious of our frailties. And we can sometimes stand back and we can say that belongs to someone else. Someone else we might think to be more spiritual, stronger, effective. And here we are reminded, wait a minute. Joseph was a fickle Christian. Jacob was a fickle Christian. Jacob was the one who was all his schemes and all his plans. Jacob was that kind of a guy. So much inconsistency and so much that would disappoint any judgment that man would make. But God was faithful in his promises to Jacob. And as God was faithful to Jacob, God can and will be faithful to his people today. No matter how we judge ourselves, he is our God as he was the God to Jacob also. So therefore, we turn around and we go into this new year, 2022. We don't know what it's going to bring or hold for us. But let's hold on to what we've been hearing from the book of Psalms this morning. Gather it all together as a comfort for us. Come what may. We've known the Lord's help in times past. He's going to help us in times to come. We know what kind of a God we have and a kind of God that we follow. So therefore, let us be encouraged one with the other as we face this new year, 2022. We don't know what it holds. It might be something very severe and dramatic, but the counsel of the psalmist in verse 10 comes to us still. Be still and know that I am God. I am your God in this new year. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord and God, we draw near to thee once again to seek thy blessing upon us, to take the thoughts we've shared one with the other here this morning, that they might be rooted and retained in our soul and in our heart and our thinking. As we part one from the other, as we journey further along the Christian path into and through this new year, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst travel with us and that thy blessing would be upon us and that we might be safe in the arms of Jesus. Hear us, Lord, and bless us, we pray. Forgive us our faults and failings in the highest privilege of worship. For all we ask is in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close by singing from Psalm 37 at verse 3, taking the counsel of the psalm in the light of what we've been thinking of this morning. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord, and be thou doing good. And so thou in the land shalt dwell, and verily of food. Delight thyself in God. He'll give thine heart's desire to thee. Thy way to God commit, him trust it bring to pass shall he. And like unto the light he shall thy righteousness display, and he thy judgment shall bring forth like noontide of the lay. Rest in the Lord, and patiently wait for him. Do not fret for him who prospering in his way, success in sin that can. Psalm 37, 3 through 7, set thou thy trust upon the Lord.
Thou thy trust upon the Lord, and be thou doing good, and so thou in the land shalt dwell, and verily have food. Delight thyself.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.